everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. My name is Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about nudity in film.
Recently, I was teaching the Coramdale Foundations class, which is a class we do a couple times a year for people new to the church. And we talk about the core values of our church. One of the core values of our church is that the church must engage culture. And so we were talking about, what does it mean to engage culture? How do we do that meaningfully? One of the questions that came from the people in the class was, hey, what about engaging culture in the category of things like the show Game of Thrones, the HBO TV show? Is that okay for Christians to watch? Is it not okay for Christians to watch? How should we think about those kinds of movies, films, TV shows, cultural products? I confess, when I heard the question, I actually don't know much about Game of Thrones. I just know it exists. I've seen like the title Game of Thrones. I have no idea what it was about. So I sort of flew blind in the moment and then went and sort of looked at what is this show and what's it about? From what I learned, my answer sort of changes to that question. And so we thought it'd be fun to tackle on the podcast. And obviously, this question about nudity in film connects to the conversation we had about pornography a few weeks ago. Specifically, the question of can Christians – what boundaries do Christians need to have when it comes to watching films with nudity, with sexuality, with scenes that are sexual in nature? This is a frustrating question to me for this reason. I think that as Christians ask these questions, the questions as they're phrased always lean in the direction of like, well, can I do this or can't I? Which is an interesting question, but I don't think the most important question. The question I would want to ask is, what am I after in my own soul, and what does it mean for me to glorify God with my life? And that might lead to a different kind of question. Instead of the question being, can I or can't I watch these things, maybe the question needs to be, what are these things in the first place? Why do these scenes exist in film, and what are they intended to do? Interestingly, in an article I read recently with some female actresses who are pushing back against doing nude scenes in film, one of whom is Emilia Clarke, who stars in the show Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. These actresses are basically saying, look, the only reason that producers put sex scenes in film is to capture an audience, is to sort of create an effect that pulls people in. They don't add anything to the storyline. They're not necessary to the plot of the film. And what those actresses are saying in saying that is there's a visual spectacle that's being created here sheerly for the purpose of sort of attractive value. And so the attractive value is no longer the strength of the story. Mm. It is the scene itself and how the scene sort of awakens interest and desire, especially on the part of the viewer. To say it another way, any movie or film or TV show that has a sexuality element as part of the storyline, that element can always be shown without graphicness. That, mm-hmm. I mean, films have been doing that for decades, showing there's a sexual encounter here, but we don't need to see the encounter to know that it happened, right? There's our minds are capable of inferring, but we have judgment. And so the more and more graphic sexuality that we see in film and television, the reason for it being there is nothing other than sort of to pull in an audience and sort of for the value of attracting interest because of, again, the connection to the increase of pornography in our culture. So I don't think these two things are unrelated. And I think when Christians ask the question, can I do this? The question we should be asking is, why would we want to in the first place? What are we after in engaging in or being viewers of film and TV shows that have a strong element of nudity in them?
So, Bob, how should Christians handle just art and beauty? So the human body is beautiful, male and female, and we see a lot of old ancient art with the naked human body in it. How can we engage that but not engage the new mediums of film and TV and movies and all those things.
Yeah, let me be more provocative in sort of even what I'm saying. Because I think for a lot of years, in an overreaction against fundamentalism, the sort of engaging culture response, if you want to call it that, was like, well, man, we need to be able to like appreciate film and appreciate art and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's all a smokescreen for bullcrap. Like, I don't think Christians need to watch movies with nudity in them in order to be able to speak meaningfully about film, right? That's a false choice that you're forcing me to make between either I embrace films that have all kinds of objectionable elements in them or I'm not into engaging culture. Not true. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference, Mike, between sort of if you think about Renaissance art, which did have a lot of sort of nudity in it, right? If you compare that to a moving picture, a movie, a film, in Renaissance art or even in pre-Renaissance art, if you think about Michelangelo's Statue of David, for instance, man, it's beautiful. And the reason it's beautiful, even though it is a nude, is because it's portraying the sort of glory of the human body, not in a sexualized way. Now, can you see his sexual organs? Yeah, you can. They're, you know, the statue's naked. Likewise with the paintings of Rubens or someone like that. But the point of those paintings is they're not sexualized. They're displaying a beauty that does exist in the human body and that can be appreciated without a sexualizing of it, right? Now, you know, I have a little daughter and last year we were on vacation and there was a replica of the statue of Michelangelo and she sort of blushed when she saw it, like, I don't think I'm supposed to see that, right? So yes, there's a sense in which little kids, like, there's going to be this you know, innocence factor that, like, yeah, we probably don't want to sit and stare at the Statue of David all day. However, you know, for no adult human being is that a sexualized image. Yeah. You know, you look at that and go, man, that's a fine piece of art. In a film, in a movie, just like we talked about in the podcast on pornography a few weeks ago, especially for men, viewing a scene that has sexuality, it's almost impossible to do that without that creating visual power in my mind, without imagination kicking in. And for that reason, Christians need to be okay saying, yeah, I'm just not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And what's frustrating to me a little bit as a leader is I see a lot of people who sort of want to run down the engaging culture road and say, well, we got to be watching the things people are watching and engaging the things people are engaging. Well, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. Not if those things are objectionable, not if they trigger sin, not if they create temptation, and not if they're just unholy. Like, even if they don't create temptation, it's just like, man, there's no reason why I need to be participating in those things. And the verse that comes to mind is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, everything's permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Like, the question of, is it beneficial? Is it honoring to God? Is it honoring to the human body? Does it glorify God? Can I worship God as I'm engaging in this? Generally, the answer with nudity in film is no. Hmm.
Interesting thing here for me is to think through the category of, are these people, these actors, worshiping their way through this scene? I'm pulling this from Tim Challies, who wrote an article about this in February of 2016, where he kind of went on on his site. It's a little bit of a rant. I envision him sitting down and writing this pretty quickly. But he brings this great quote and he says, if they act sinfully by doing it, we are acting sinfully by watching it.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And so it's interesting to tease that idea out. You know, that's tweetable right there, Mike. Yeah. But it's interesting to think about that as truth. Yeah. If there's, and his argument is obviously, if these two people are acting out a sex scene, and that's in a movie, would I be okay with watching that in another category of my life? We might say, well, that's pretty bad if you're watching that in pornography. But if it's just a movie and it's just a snippet in this scene, well, then maybe it's okay because it's art and it's culture and it's part of this storyline and all of these thoughts, right? So, but it's interesting to use that truth and say, well, yeah, I'm acting out sinfully by watching this if they're acting out sinfully and doing it.
And that's the challenge of shows like Game of Thrones. There's always a push to sort of go more provocative. And right, Game of Thrones is softcore pornography. Let's just be honest. Like, that's what it is. That's what it's featuring. You can say, oh, I'm not watching porn. You actually are. It's just not called, marketed as porn, and it's not called porn, and it might not be as degrading as porn. It might have a more compelling storyline.
No, man, you just got to watch the whole storyline, though.
Yeah, you know, it's like, there's a category here where Christians need to have the courage to say, I will not watch that. I do not need to watch that. And I don't miss out on anything by not watching that. What if I miss out on a good story? Okay, well, then you miss out on a good story.
There's okay. lots of good stories.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Go read one. They've been written for thousands of years, you know. HBO can't make a better story than The Odyssey, you know, mm-hmm. so go read that. It has nudity in it, but it's literary nudity. You can't there's no scene for you to look at and lust after. Another thing for us to think about here as Christians is this. What we see has a formative effect on us. What we see as normative has a formative effect on us. And what we watch in film has a shaping effect on our worldview. So Christians think naively that, like, well, man, if I'm committed to the glory of God and I'm walking with Jesus and I want to glorify him, then I can watch things that might be objectionable without enjoying them, without glorying in them. I can just watch them as sort of a disaffected person watching art and trying to sort of critique it and understand it. I would say not so easily, because what we watch actually forms and shapes us. Mm-hmm. And so am I glad there are Christians who can watch a few episodes of Game of Thrones, write a review on it so I can understand what it is and how it and the story it's telling and sort of evaluate it? Yeah, I'm glad there are people that can do that. Does that mean I should do that? No, it mm-hmm. doesn't. There's this, the reality that what we see has a formative effect on us and starts to reshape what we think as is normal, I think is important for us to reckon with here. That, you know, I think of Philippians 4, right? Whatever things are pure, honorable, good, right, noble, of good repute, set your mind on these things. That's the implication there, is that setting my mind on things that are pure, holy, honorable, right, and good is a discipline. It's something I do, and I can also do the opposite of that. I can set my mind on things that are not pure, not honorable, not right and good, and that in which of those things I set my mind on, there's a formative effect in how that begins to shape my soul and my response to the Lord. So there's just concern for me here that we're thinking too naively, or that we tend to think too naively about, well, engaging culture means, like, because I love the Lord, I can sort of engage, you know, in lots of different cultural products and see them sort of in a disaffected way. I think there are some people that might be true for, but I think the broad reality is, no, but there's just things we need to say. Engaging culture means I'm just not going to participate in some things mm-hmm. because they're objectionable, because they are sinful, and I'm just going to avoid them mm-hmm. entirely.
You'd say then, engaging culture can happen on two fronts: participating in culture and also protesting culture.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe the best way to engage Game of Thrones or shows like that is to protest it and actually challenge your friends who watch it with conversations about why you don't think it's okay to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way we flatten the idea of engaging culture is to say, well, engaging culture means, like, man, I'm going to go to happy hour with my friends after work. I'm going to watch whatever they watch. I'm going to find meaningful points of contact with them. Mm-hmm. They're not into anything that's redemptive, so I'm going to, like, get into unredemptive stuff so I can engage them. That's naive. Yeah. I can engage culture through protest. I can engage culture through abstinence. I can engage culture meaningfully through stepping out of particular practices and saying there's a conviction I have here that I'm willing to share and offer. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's interesting too, because as I'm listening to you guys, I'm thinking about the holistic Christian life, and we totally work in these different categories. So when it comes to entertainment, we think, well, I can get away with this and I can watch this because this is, I mean, after all, it's the best thing on TV at this time, so I can do it. But if we're thinking holistically about the Christian life, we're thinking holistically about holiness and sanctification. And that means we can't divide entertainment from the rest of worship and the rest of Christian life. Recently interacting with a couple in our church who, before they were Christians, were in the casino scene. And they were both working at a casino. They become Christians. They keep working at the casino. And then they start to realize, you know, this is like paying the bills pretty well. And it's, you know, we're raising our family. The schedule's pretty flexible. The casino's working with us in really great ways. But then they thought, you know, this isn't really healthy. The people that we're receiving our income from are not healthy people. most of these people have an addiction to gambling. We're not contributing to their life in a holistic way. So there's other things that we want to do with our, we want to receive income in a different way and be a contributor to society and culture instead of just being a, being partaking in a negative aspect. Is it completely wrong because it's giving you a job and funding your family and putting food on the table? At that place, they were like, no. But when it came to a holistic understanding of the Christian worldview, they thought, we probably need to get different jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's true. You know, that's a worshipful, holy response to a Christian in their worldview.
Mm-hmm. I imagine there'll be a little bit of pushback from like the artists, the Christian filmmakers, you know, the people that see themselves as art makers and for whom, you know, sort of drawing lines like this tends to be provocative because they want to go, well, are you saying, you know, all everything in this realm is sort of off limits. I would just go back to what I said a few minutes ago, which is, if the plot line requires, I mean, the right in the Bible, there's plot lines that involve adultery, that involve sexual brokenness, that involve scenes of rape. These things are in the Bible, you know. They contribute. Telling stories like this is an important aspect of sort of describing the reality of the world. But the story can be told in a way that does not feature gratuitous sexuality or gratuitous violence. And when I use the word gratuitous, I mean it's just there to gratify sort of base cravings in people. And so if you ask the question for a Christian filmmaker or a Christian artist, I should tell the darkness of the story, but I can do it in a way that implies, right, that, that allows the sort of imaginative component of human nature to kick in and go, okay, I imagine something happened here between these two people. I don't need to see everything that happened. I can deduce what happened. And again, good storytellers can do that, and it takes nothing away from the story. But we live in a culture where there's an increasing push toward the sexualization of the body and where film increasingly sort of wants to go that direction. And I think as Christians, we need to say, I'm going to be a conscientious objector to that drift. And I'm going to choose not to do that. And I'm going to do that out of conviction. And then I'm not just going to be the person that's like, if someone asks me, I'm like, hey, man, I don't watch that show, right? But I might be the person that like vocally doesn't watch that show and seeks to provoke a conversation about it for the sake of engaging culture, right? Like, see what I'm saying? Yeah. So engaging culture doesn't mean, oh, I watched that episode of Game of Thrones. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Engaging culture should mean, could mean, hey, man, I choose not to watch Game of Thrones. Let me tell you why. Why do you watch it, right? Mm-hmm. I've created a conversation with a coworker about the show simply out of my abstention from the show rather than from me knowing what happened in the show last week.
Yeah. So yeah, what you're after there is just a more thoughtful engaging of culture.
Yes, and a concern for holiness, a concern for set apartness, a concern for saying, let's not call neutral things that God says are not neutral. Let's preserve a sense of purity and holiness. You know, let's ask questions like, would I want my kids watching something like this? Mm. Would I want my kids participating in a scene like this? Heck no. Yeah. Well then why would I, you know, like,
why is that okay for entertainment then?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One more cultural aspect or component here is this. I think what we consider, what our ideal of sexuality is affects sort of what we pursue. Movies, film, and even, you know, pornography sets an ideal of sexuality that's sort of always intense, always erotic, and always sort of, you know, full of significance. And I think what that does is it causes people, we talked about this again in the podcast on pornography, it causes people to be less and less satisfied with a God-honoring vision of sexuality that's actually quite different from that. God's vision of sexuality, right, is like the beauty of a marriage where sex is the full union of two persons that sometimes is really fireworky and sometimes is really, you know, just normal, like normal. And so when sort of our ideal, when our cultural ideal begins to become sort of the dynamic, powerful, erotic vision of sexuality, I think it drains away the beauty of just sort of like, if you want to call it like everyday sexuality, right? The sort of the ebb and flow of a life that is a God-honoring sexuality in marriage as God intended it to be. And I think the changing of that ideal is bad. It's bad because it sets a false vision for our children of what sex is like. It's bad because it sets a false hope and ideal for adults of what my sex life should be like. It's bad because it causes me to sort of be voyeuristic as I'm watching someone else having sex and going, why do they get to do that? And, you know, what if I could experience that? And so there's just all kinds of ways that when it distorts our ideal, it actually is having an effect on how we think, and we need to contrast that with the biblical ideal of sexuality. And here's what's most compelling to me about the biblical ideal of sexuality is the ideal is not eros all the time. The ideal is oneness, right? The ideal is, if you think about texts like Proverbs or like the Song of Solomon, or even like 1 Corinthians 7, what these texts sort of describe is this person belongs to me and I belong to them. And there's a possessiveness, a godly possessiveness of like, this is my wife, this is my husband, and they're sort of reserved for me alone. And that in itself is compelling and powerful. And so the ideal is not a overly eroticized vision of sexuality. The ideal is an overly, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, a powerfully giving of myself to one other person vision of sexuality. And that has a power to sustain sort of a life of faithfulness that the erotic vision of sexuality does not have the power to sustain. Because if what the ideal is a highly erotic sex life at all times, then as soon as that's not my experience, I think something's broken and something's wrong and something's bad and something's gone sideways. Mm. When in reality, what if that's not the case? What if that story that we're being told is completely the wrong story?
Mm. Right. I think it's important. You mentioned a little while ago, Bob, that this is a drift. I think you used the word drift talking about in our entertainment culture. This is why Christians need to be ready for being a Christian to be harder than it actually has been in years past, because everything is drifting in this way. But it's a slow, subtle drift. If I can't really count on too many hands decent movies that I would recommend. I've seen a lot of movies recently where I'm like, oh, that was almost a really good movie until they blew it here, you know? And so I can't actually, as a Christian in good conscience, go, dang it, almost a good movie, you know? And it's a subtle drift in our culture and in our entertainment and therefore in everything. And so it's going to be more countercultural than ever to be a Christian.
One final observation here, because of what you just said, is the category of entertainment is an interesting category. Because what it implies is the function of this in my life is to entertain me. Mm-hmm. And entertainment derives a lot on, you know, escapism, fantasy, you know, unrealisticness. This is why superhero movies are interesting, because we all want to sort of fantasize about if we could fly or if we could, you know, beat up everybody in the world or if we could save the world from calamity. Those are fun sort of fantasies to live out. Entertainment by nature is unrealistic. And so the more that we understand the function of a movie to be to entertain us, or a TV show to entertain us, that's what takes it in this direction of nudity needing to exist to sort of continue to titillate us and entertain us and provoke us and intrigue us. Whereas I think a Christian vision of film or of art is not art existing for the purpose of entertainment, but art existing for the purpose of shaping meaning and creating beauty. And that's a very different purpose than entertainment. That's a more transcendent purpose. And so true art exists to portray and capture elements of beauty in the world as God has created it. Entertainment exists to keep me interested. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the primary difference between, for instance, the Renaissance art that we were talking about, nudity in art and nudity in film. One is about beauty and good. One is about keeping me interested.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join us next week on the Wednesday Conversation.